Welcome to Tara Timacha Nachyom with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yud Tes, Chapter 19. Brief recap of what we learned yesterday in Perek Yud Ches. The Aron was moved from Gilgal to Shiloh, and Yehoshua rebuked the remaining seven tribes who had not received their land because they were lax in pursuing their inheritances. We heard about the boundaries of the tribe of Binyamin. In our Perek today, we will discuss the remaining six tribes, Shimon, Zevulun, Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. And the text devotes about eight pesukim to each one of them. There's not nearly as much detail as we had with the tribes of Yehuda, Yosef, and Binyamin. And generally, in contrast, again, to Yehuda and Yosef, the concentration is not so much on the borderlines and boundaries, but rather is presenting as listings specific place names, towns, and villages that were inhabited by the respective tribes. Pasuk Aleph, Vayetze Hagoril Hasheni, and second lottery, this is the second lottery out of seven, says Rashi, went to L'Shimon L'mata B'nei Shimon, L'mishpachosam B'yinachalasam B'soch Nachalas B'nei Yehuda. This lottery was for the tribe of Shimon and their family, and it came out to be in the inheritance of the portion of Yehuda. So Shimon and Levi are unique. Neither of them have a Nachala for themselves, they're just given cities. Levim are given 48 cities, which is scattered all over Eretz Yisrael, whilst the cities of the tribe of Shimon are all concentrated within the Nachala of Yehuda. We know it was Shimon and Levi together who were responsible for Shechem, but why was there a difference? Why was Shimon all bunched together in one area in the Nachala of Yehuda, and Levi was scattered all the way over Eretz Yisrael? And the Netziv points out that the answer to this can be found in the Lashon of the Pasuk that describes what they did in Shechem. Bereishis Perek Lamed Dalet. Vayikhu Shnei Bnei Yaakov, and the two sons of Yaakov took Shimon v'Levi, Achei Dina, Shimon and Levi, who were the brothers of Dina, Ishharbo, they took their swords, v'yavo al ha'ir betach v'yahargu kozachar, and they come into the city armed, and they kill off all the men. The Netziv, the Emek Davar, says something very, very beautiful. He says there is one word that is definitely unnecessary in this pasuk, or rather, needs darshaning, needs understanding. It's the word Shnei, the two sons of Yaakov. It's very clear that there are two sons here. We're talking about Shimon and Levi. What does the word Shnei come along to teach us? And in his language, Tevas Shnei Mutar, this word Shnei is definitely added. Uvala Lamadnu, and it's come to teach us, the Af Agav Shnis Achdu B'Ka'as Gadol L'Hachriv Ir, even though they grouped together as one with their anger to destroy this city, Mikomakom Hayushnaim, nonetheless, there were still two of them. What does that mean? Hayushashonim Hayubideos. They came with different reasons. They both came burning with a fire, but one of them, Bada'as Enoshi, Hamakana Lechavod Beis Aviv, one of them that was Shimon, came burning with a zealousness for the honor of his father's house. And this, says the Netziv, is like an Eish Zara. And the other one came with a burning fire, Bada'as Kinas Hashem, for zealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was like an Eshal Heves, yeah? It was a godly fire. He does say there, even that has to be tempered. We don't have to know how to deal with a zealous fire for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the difference between the two of them is, although they went ahead and did the same act in Shechem, one of them was Kulo L'Shem Shamayim. His Azus was Azus to Kedusha, that was Levi, and Shimon's was not. And therefore, Shimon, with his Azus, needs to be tempered and needs to be controlled. And they were therefore placed in the Nachala of the tribe of Yehuda, where they could be sort of under Yehuda's watch. However, Levi, with his Azus de Kedusha, his passion and energy to do Ratzon Hashem, this kind of passion and energy is beautiful, and that we would like to have scattered all over Am Yisrael for everyone to benefit from it. Idea shared by Rav Shimshon Ophal Hirsch on these words, Achal Kei B'Yakov V'Afitzem B'Yisrael. Here he says, Yaakov and Yisrael are two different names of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov, from the word Ekev, heel, is Klal Yisrael at their most downtrodden, scattered amongst the nations of the world. Yisrael, on the other hand, from the word Sar, prince, is Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael and flourishing. When we are living in Eretz Yisrael and flourishing, then afitzem, we don't particularly need this energy of Shimon and Levi to be bunched, you know, in one area. We need it scattered around. But when we are out and Yaakov, we are downtrodden and out in Golis, then we need to have a chalkim. We need to divide up and give every single Jew a little bit of this azus that Shimon and Levi had, and azus that we have the courage and energy and to withstand this. Pesukim Beis until Ches are going to list the cities in the tribe of that the tribe of Shimon received in the Nachal of Yehuda, and in Pasuk Tes we're told, Michevel b'nei Yehuda nachalas b'nei Shimon, ki hayachelek b'nei Yehuda rav mehem, v'yinchalu b'nei Shimon b'soch nachalasam. So out of the allotment that the children of Yehuda got as their inheritance, within that Nachala was the children of Shimon, because the portion for Yehuda was just too much for them, and therefore the b'nei Shimon were able to inherit in the midst of Yehuda's inheritance. The Navi now turns to the next lottery, Pasuk Yud Vayal HaGorel HaShalishi, and the third Goral went to Livnei Zavulun LeMishpachosam Vayihi Gavul Nachalosam Ad Sarid. We're going to now hear about the portion that the Zavulun and their families received. To get a great view of the Nachala of Zavulun today, you can climb up to a lookout on Tel Yuknam, which is close to the junction of Route 6 and 70, and you look out east. Pasuk Yud Aleph begins to describe their borders. Va'ala gavulam layama. Their borders went out westward, umar'ela ufaga b'dabashes, and passed by mar'ela, faga, and dabashes, ufaga al nachala asher al p'nei yoknam. And it sort of meets the nachal. The Malbim says this is Nachal Kishon, which is the area where Eliyahu HaNavi killed the leaders of the idol Baal, and it comes all the way out to Yoknam. If you carry on reading through all of the descriptions of the different cities, we're going to come across a few names that we are familiar with. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Misham Avar Kadema, Mizracha, Gita, Chefer. It's going to have a city on their borders called Gat Chefer. This is where Yonah HaNavi was born. We're going to pass in Pasuk Tesvav Shimron, a city called Shimron, which we've heard about. It was one of the cities that Yavin Melech Chatzar called the king of Shimron and to join him against Klal Yisrael in the battle. Pasuk Tes Zayin ends the description of the Nachala of Zavulun. Zos Nachalas b'nei Zavulun l'mishpachosam ha'arim ha'ele v'chatzrehine. And this is the inheritance of the children of Zavulun according to their families, these cities with their villages. So according to the descriptions in these Pesukim of the Nachala of that Zavulun received, it's a landlocked territory in the area that we call today the Lower Galil. Now this is a bit problematic because if you look at both Birchas Yaakov and Birchas Moshe, we hear hints to him having a territory near the sea. In Birchas Yaakov, Zavulun l'chof yamim yishkon v'hu l'chof anios v'yarkasei at Sidon. Zavulun shall dwell by the seashore, he shall be a haven for ships, and his flank shall rest on Sidon. And we know that the flag of the tribe of Zavulun was a ship. Birchas Moshe, ki shefa yamim yenaku asfunim tumunei chol, for they draw from the riches of the sea and the hidden hoards of the sand. The Gemara and Megillah Dafav Ahmed Aleph tells us that these hidden hoards are sufunei zechilazon. This refers to the chilazon, which was the animal from which we received the techeles. Tumunei zu tarit, some sort of fish, and chol zu zuchuchit levana. There were white sands, and this refers to glass that came from these sands. But again, if you look at the boundaries in this parak, it doesn't appear that Zavulun is anywhere near the sea. The Gemara also shares the following, which makes it even more confusing. Amar Zavulun livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shalom. Zavulun turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Achai nasata lehem sados ha-kramim veli nasata harim v'gva'os. You gave my brothers fields and vineyards, and you just gave me mountains and hills. Achai nasata lehem aratzos. You gave my brother lands veli nasata yamim naharos. And to me, you just gave sea and water. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Kulam tzrichin lach al yedei chilazon. You know what? They're all going to need you because of the chilazon that is in your territory. So there is a lot of dispute in Chazal trying to understand how the seemingly landlocked tribe also has access to the sea. The Vilna Gaon has a very creative solution to this. He says the border of Zavulun cut through Asher, which was west of him, and there was a stretch through the tribe of Asher reaching all the way out to sea, and that stretch and a piece on the sea belonged to the Zavulun. And he says, if you look at the wording of Birchas Yaakov, it says, V'yar kiso al Sidon. He understands that Yarkaso can be translated as a yerech, a thigh. And the Gra says it was like a thigh-shaped stretch that went narrow through Asher's Nachala and widened at the sea like a thigh. And this whole space belonged to Zebulun, giving him a piece on the seashore. Yeshtari HaParchi, who we mentioned already yesterday in his Sefer, Kafta Vaferach, he mentions that the Nachala of Zebulun did reach out to the sea. It's not listed in this perek, but in Sefer Shoftim, where we are told that the tribe of Zebulun didn't drive out the Canaanites, and there we're given the name of a city that didn't appear over here. It was the city of Kitron, and I just want to point this out, because Kitron, although it wasn't listed here, the Gemara in Megillah Dafav tells us that Kitron was Tzipori, and Tzipori was a very important city during Bayis Sheni and beyond that. Zebulun had the smallest of all the Nachalos in portion, but in quality, it seems to have been one of the best. The next tribe begins in Pasuk Yud Zayin, L'Yisachar Yetzi HaGoril HaRavi'i L'Vnei Yisachar L'Mishpachosam. We're now going to hear about the portion that the tribe of Yisachar got. I'm going to describe their boundaries outside of the text. They're going to lie east of the tribe of Manasseh, but the lines are quite blurred where the boundaries actually are. This is the area that today we call the Emek Yisrael, the Jezreel Valley. Now in Birchas Yaakov, Yisachar, we're told, is Yisachar Chamar Garm. Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey. And the Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash, tells us that just like a donkey was low on both sides and high in the middle, Yisachar's portion lay in two valleys, the Emek Yisrael, the Jezreel Valley, and the Beit Shan Valley, which was further to the east, and it was surrounded by mountains like the Gilboa. It was a relatively small but very fertile Nachala, and it had some very well-fortified Canaanite cities in the middle of it, like Tanach, Megiddo, Endor, Beit Sha'an, which were all given to Manasseh. As we learned, when they complained that their portion was too small, they were granted these cities within the Nachala of Yisachar. Pasuk Yudches, we'll just name some of the cities that we come across. Vayhi Gevulam Yisraela, Vahaksulos Veshunam. Within their border, we have Yisrael, Ksulos, and Shunam. This was Shunam from Ishahu Hashunamis story. And the Pesukim continue to describe until Pasuk Kaf Gimel, where we're told, Zos Nachalas Mate B'nei Yisachar, the Mishpachosam Ha'arim V'chatzrehen. This is the inheritance of the children of the Yisachar according to their families, the cities, and their villages. The fifth lottery next, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, Vayeti HaGoril HaChamishi Lamate B'nei Asher L'Mishpachosam. This fifth Goril is going to go to Asher and their family. His Nachala stretches from Tzidon, which is all the way in the very far north, out well outside of the borders of Eretz Yisrael today. And it borders Naphtali in the northern part and Zebulun in its lower part and Manasseh right at its lowest tip. This entire Nachala of Asher was by the Mediterranean coast and it crossed the entire Carmel mountain range. Asher's territory was a very, very fertile, a very, very rich one. Many, many olive trees grew there. And in Birchas Yaakov, we are told, Me Asher Shmeina Lachmo V'yiten Ma'adani Melech. Asher's bread shall be rich, Chazal tell us, rich because it had so much olive oil in it, and he shall yield royal dainties. Birchas Moshe, we hear how Ola Asher Omar Baruch Mibonim Asher Yehi Ratzui Echov V'tovol B'Shem and Raglo. Asher was very beloved by his brothers, and he dipped his feet in olive oil. And again, Chazal described the incredible quantities of olive that grew in his territory allowed him to literally dip his feet in oil. But he also shared his bounty beautifully with the other tribes, and therefore he was very, very much beloved by the rest of the Shvatim. Pasuk Lamed, again, I'll share some of the names of cities that come up within his Nachala. We are told that Afek is within his Nachala, Tzidon Rabbah, which we mentioned all the way to the north was, and Pasuk Lama tells us, Orim Esrim Ushtayim V'chatzrehen, he had 22 cities with their villages as part of his Nachala. Lamed Aleph says, Nachalas Mata B'nei Asher L'mishpachosim Ha'arim Ha'ele V'chatzrehen, and this is the portion that the tribe of Asher and his families all received. Next up is Naphtali, Pasuk Lamed Beis Livnei Naphtali, Yatza HaGoril HaShishi Livnei Naphtali L'mishpachosam, and again, I'll describe their border is going to stretch from the border of Zebulun, Gat Chef, which, and all the way out to the Kinneret, reaches again very far up north to the area of Iyun, borders Asher on the west, and they received what we would call today the entire Chula Valley area and the northeastern part of the lower Upper Galil belongs to Naphtali. Pasuk Amadalid, Mizvulun Minegev, Uva Osher Pagamayim, Uva Yehuda Hayardin, Mizracha Hashemesh. These are the borders which we just described of the tribe of Naphtali. Lamed Hey, we're going to hear again some cities of names that we may recognize. We hear Hamas, Rakas, Vachineret. Hamas and Rakas, says the Gemara, were references to Tveria. And in Pasuk Lamed Ches, Orem Tsha Esrei Vachatrehen, they had 19 different cities. Lamed Tes, Zos Nachalas Mate B'nei Naphtali L'mishbachosam Ha'orem Vachatrehen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali according to their families, the cities for their villages. They received an enormous, enormous Nachala. Dan is the seventh and final tribe to receive his Nachala. Pasuk Mem L'mata B'nei Dan L'mishbachosam Yatza Ha'goral Hashvi'i, the seventh lot went to Dan. And here we're going to come across some names that we may be more familiar with. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayihi Gavul Nachalasam Tzora, Ve'eshta'ol, Ve'ir Shemesh. Their border went past Tzora, Eshta'ol, and Ir Shemesh, which Chazal tell us is likely to have been Beit Shemesh. Now, if you drive on Route 38 today in Israel, you pass two turnoffs. You pass Tzora and Eshta'ol. And in Sefer Shoftim, when we are introduced to Shimshon, we are from Shevet Dan, we are told he lives Bein Tzora Ve'eshta'ol, between Tzora and Eshta'ol. Nowadays, there is a large IKEA that sits between the Yeshuv of Tzora and the Yeshuv of Eshta'ol. There are more cities that we're familiar with: Shalavim, Ayalon, Yisla, Ve'elon, Ve'timnasa, Ve'ekron, Ve'alpka, Ve'givson, Valat, and Ve'yehud u'bnei Brak, Ve'gat Rimon. Mehayarkon Vaharkon Im Hagvul Mul Yafo, and we are told that this border goes all the way out to the area of Yafo. There is one pasuk now that gives a very brief gloss to a story that we're going to hear much more detail in Sefer Shoftim Perik Yudches. Pasuk Mem Zayin, Vayeti Gvul Bnei Dan Mehem, and the border of the children of Dan was just too narrow for them. Vaya'alu b'nei Dan, and therefore Dan goes up. V'yelachamu im Leshem, they go to fight against a city called Leshem. V'yilkada osa, v'yaku osa, l'fichariv, they completely take it over, smite it, and capture it. V'yirshu osa, they inherit it. V'yeshvu ba, and they dwell in it. V'yikra l'leshem Dan, k'shem Dan avihim, and they're going to rename the city Leshem, Dan, like their father's name. In Sefer Shoftim, this city is going to be called Laish, but Radak and the Malbim both tell us it's the same city, Leshem, that we hear about over here. When did this campaign actually take place? Although it's described in great detail, the end of Sefer Shoftim, according to Rashi, it actually happened at the beginning of the period of Shoftim during the lifetime of Asnael ben Kenaz. Pasuk Memches, Zos Nachalas Mate B'nei Dan L'mishpachosam Ha'arim Ha'ela V'chatzriyehin. And this brings us to the conclusion of the tribe of Dan with all the cities and villages that belonged to their family. And this now brings us to the end of dividing up all the portions to all the different tribes in Eretz Canaan, or Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenke, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenke, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleena Shalom. Neshot Chaylo live with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avod, and Gemalas Chassan, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Wish everyone a wonderful day.